Some of you laugh when you see me. Why are you laughing? Okay. Well, let's go to the Bibles. So our Bibles, very loud, so you cannot sleep, baby. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Okay, we're going to talk about evangelism and what it means. But this is a very huge issue. So I definitely not going to be able to go through all of that, because it's very, very big, this theme in the Bible. Actually, in all the Bible, we can see and learn about the gospel. You maybe heard the gospel many times. You maybe say that you already know the gospel, but actually you always can learn something else from the gospel. I don't know how much do you know about the gospel, but if you already had a taste of the gospel, you are not going to stop to try to seek more about it. Because the grace that God gave us is such beautiful and great than you don't want to seek anything else than Him. And here I'm more worried of what is going to happen with you when you came to the presence of God, of anything else. I really don't worry too much if you are going to be successful, or if you are going to finish your school, or if you get a good job. I really don't care too much those things. Those things even doesn't care to me in my own life. I really don't worry too much of those things, because I know that God takes care of all those things. But I'm worried of the day that I'm going to be before God and before His justice, and He's going to tell me what I did with His Son. He gave His Son for you. He gave His only Son to die for you. I don't know if you know Abel, the guy who played drums. And I saw his wife, Melania, and I saw how she loved her kids, especially the youngest one, Abraham. I'm pretty sure she wouldn't let his kid die for any of you, even the pastor. Not even for his husband. And if you have children, you know, then you wouldn't let them die even for your husband or your wife, because you love your children. But God has to kill His own Son for you. And you don't deserve that. And one day you are going to be before God. And that day could be today or tomorrow. You doesn't know. And in that moment, Jesus or God is going to ask you what you did with that offering that was given for you. I don't know what you are going to do with Jesus, but He gave His life for you. And sometimes we are living our lives for ourselves. We need to live our lives for Jesus. We think sometimes that He doesn't deserve our lives, that our lives are more important. then we can give him only parts of our life. But he deserves, he wants all our life. He doesn't want only your free time, only Sundays. He wants all your life. And I was listening to the testimony of Angela, I think. And I grew up in a Christian family too. Actually, my dad, for those who doesn't know him, was a pastor. So I lose the reverence for the pastor when I was young. You know, when your dad is a pastor, you know that he is a human too. So I grew up in a Christian home, and I wasn't a bad boy. Well, yeah. Well, if you consider steal your dad's credit card at the age of 10 years old, I steal some money. I wasn't that bad, you know. $700 maybe at 10 years, like 20 years ago, in Peru was a lot of money. And some other stuff that I cannot tell you because I'm ashamed of those. But for me, I wasn't a bad boy. I wasn't a bad kid. Until I understand how a simple bad thing could be horrible in the presence of God. Until I understand that I was living between 2 days, the day Jesus Christ died for me and the day I'm going to present me before him. And he is going to decide my eternity with his love or with his wrath because of my sins. And sometimes when we tell the people and we try to evangelize, we tell people, hey, we are sinners. And everyone say, oh, yeah, we're sinners. Yeah, you're a sinner too. Yeah, we all are sinners. And we don't realize how horrible and bad is our sins before God. And that's maybe one of the reasons we don't fear God. And we don't fear to dishonor God. So what I'm going to try to explain here is how horrible become this sin in the own life of Jesus. Because he has to take your sin upon him. And I'll try to show all the love of Jesus, oh God, and all the wrath that have to be descended on his own son because of you. And, you know, I'm not that lovely like the pastor. Pastor is most lovely when he preaches his case. He's a counselor. I'm not a counselor. But I'm learning. I'm learning from him. I love because I like to be when I preach. But the love of Jesus made him endure the three suffering. You hear about Jesus suffering? Through his life and through his ministry, we don't hear too much about Jesus. Feel disturbed, feel worried, feel sad. Only one time when he cried because of Lazarus, but that's a different. It was his friend, but in his soul, we don't see Jesus. Then he lost his peace. Actually, he was the peace. Not that the world understand the peace, but he was the peace. Not a peace that the world can give you. Of a good economical status and successful, not that kind of peace. It was a different peace, but he was the peace. And we don't see many times Jesus losing his peace. We can see him angry because of the human behavior, but we don't see him losing his peace in the sense that he's losing his soul and he's worried about something. But there is a moment we can actually see that. And let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22, and we're going to read from the verse 39. And it says, "And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives," whatever, "and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at that place, he said to them, 'Pray that you might not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he kneeled down and began to pray, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.' Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." And let's go very quickly to Matthew now. Matthew 26. Verse 36, let's say. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took him with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and Jacob, and began to grieve and distress. And then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.'" As I said, we don't see many times Jesus having these troubles. But there was the main purpose Jesus came over here. The main purpose was that he have to die for us. And he remembered this purpose through all his ministry. You don't remember when Jesus said to his disciples, "I have to go to Jerusalem and be killed." And he repeated this many times to his disciples. And this was in his mind during all his ministry. But there was something special at this moment about this issue. Because at this moment, Jesus, as Matthew said, he was grieved and distressed. And I want you, my English is too limited to try to express all that the emotions that could happen in the life of Jesus, but try to imagine the Son of God distressed. We're talking about God. We cannot say bad attributes about God because all the good attributes have to belong to God. We don't say that God can be sad, supposedly, because he's perfect. It wouldn't be of a perfect being being sad. It wouldn't be of a perfect being be weak. But at this point, we can see God, the Son of God, weak and suffering. But he knew about sufferings. All his life in this earth was of suffering, of sorrows. And he could overcome all these sorrows without any troubles. He could handle with Satan in the wilderness. He didn't have any problem with temptations of, he said that he didn't have a place to live, right? But he didn't worry any of these things. Those things didn't affect his life. But there was something particular at this moment that made him weak and made him to be distressed. I want to you to understand that this is not a simple thing. Because maybe, I don't know what is your character, but maybe you are of a strong character. You know, for instance, I saw my dad cry only one time. He has a strong character. So not much things can him cry. Then imagine Jesus. Probably you will say that nothing can make him suffer to him. That nothing can make him to be at this point of distress. But we can see the only time when he had to be at this state was in Gethsemane. And why could make him to get to this point? What horrible thing and a scareful thing could make him to lose for some moment his peace? How horrible could be that feeling that he had, or that thing that came to his mind to be distressed? But he says, what was that? He says in verse 38, he says, then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He said that he was worried about this cup that he has to drink. There were some discussions about this cup, but nowadays we will say that everybody is a standard of what that means. And that means the wrath of God because of our sins. He knew that he had to die for you through all his ministry. And he reminded that to his disciples. But at this point, he was, on the night before, he had to be killed and have to drink this cup. That cup was just hours from being taken. And probably these visions that he had in mind about this cup of God was that terrible that made him to be distressed. Those sins that he had to be carried made him distressed because he knew that he had to present before God with these sins. And he knew that God was a just God. Sometimes we say, and we were sinners, but instead of God to be justice with us, he showed his love. And sometimes we're wrong when we say that, because we say, instead of God be justice with us, so he was injustice. He is a justice God. And the Bible says, then the one who commits him, that one has to die in Ezekiel. And he also says in Proverbs that he cannot forgive the sins of the sinner. He cannot pass over the sin of the sinner because that's a blasphemy before God. God have to, Jesus have to receive the pay of that sins upon him. Somebody have to do it. And Jesus have to do it. And in this moment, Jesus, this thought of receiving all the sins of the world, your sins from your childhood till that moment you are going to die, all those things that you only know, that came to your mind every day, all those things, those horrible things, Jesus knew that have to be paid. And he was the sheep who was going to receive all the punishment for those sins. It is not that your sins were not punishing and, well, no, nobody else have to pay for that. Jesus have to pay for that. But we say then, was that bad crucifixion? We see the, what's the name of this film? The famous film about the crucifixion of God. Yeah, you saw that? Very nice. So we say that Jesus was distressed because of this passion he's going to suffer next day? I don't think so. If we go and see the history of the early church, we see that there was a lot of persecution on those days. And we can see how people went to die, how Christians went to die on a cross and be born on a cross singing. And Jesus, their Savior, was afraid of that? He wasn't not afraid of that. It couldn't be that he was afraid of that. Because he himself said, "Be not be afraid of those who can kill your body." Right? But be afraid of that one who after death can send you to hell. He wasn't afraid of that. For instance, we see that the Jesus' brother, Jacob, was probably the first one who was killed after Jesus, the first martyr after Jesus, and he was on jail first, and then he was condemned to die on a cross. And the guy who went to the jail to take him to the cross, so he went, and the Eusebio, I don't know how to say in English, but the one who wrote this book of the history of the church, he says that when this guy went to take Jacob to be killed on the cross, Jacob started to talk to him and present him the gospel in that moment. And then they had to kill not only Jacob, but the guy who went for him too, because he received Christ. And he said, "I'm going to die too. If he's going to die, I'm going to die too." So you see the power of these people? These people were not afraid of this suffering, of dying on a cross. They were happy. They knew that God was worthy of their lives. And we cannot say that Jesus was worried about the sufferings of next day that the people is going to do to their body, to his body. But he was fear about what is going to do with him because of the sins placed upon him. And sometimes we don't fear about those sins. We tell people, "Hey, you are a sinner." Yeah, we are a sinner. You see how foolish we are sometimes? The Son of God, all powerful, he was distressed because he was going to present himself before God with sin. And we don't care about that. He had to suffer for us. But he, why he had to receive this vision on his mind? Because he was a human being. He had to suffer all that as a human being. And he had to understand what he's going to pass through and what God going to do with him before he do it. So he volunteered will receive that cup and drink it. Sometimes you can decide to do something for somebody else, and when you do it, you understand how hard was that, right? I say, oh, maybe I wouldn't do it if I would knew how hard was that, right? So Jesus have to understand how hard was that to be conscious. How bad was going to be presented before God with sin and do it that volunteer because he loved you. Just because he loved you. We don't deserve that. We make Jesus suffer. Probably he, through all the eternity, he never suffered for you. But at this moment, he suffered for you, for your sins. And sometimes we don't care about those sins. You know how he loved us? He really loved us. He really loved us. And we say to God, hey, you don't deserve our lives. He deserves more than your lives. And we are indifferent with the people who are in sins. You know, the people who doesn't receive Christ, they are going to receive this wrath of God. Jesus says, John 3:36, that the wrath of God is upon them. We are in the hands of God. God is sovereignty. The sinner is down here. Here is the wrath of God, the hell. And we are here in the hands of the sovereignty God. But there is going to be that one moment when God is going to take out his hand. And there is no going to be anything else for you but his wrath if you don't receive the love of his son. If you don't believe in the love of his son. Sometimes we say also to the people, God hates the sin but not the sinner. Why do you think God created a hell? Because Satan doesn't create a hell. The one who created the hell was God. And you think that only Satan is on the hell? No, God is on the hell. His holy and perfect wrath, that the hell. It is not Satan. We think then that Satan is the king of the hell. No, he's not the king of the hell. The hell was made to punish him. But the king of heavens and hell and earth and everything that is created is God. And people, we are foolish. The sinners, we are foolish because we don't understand how bad is our sin before God. If we will only understand just a little bit, how bad that is, that we will be distressed like Jesus. Every day, we will be worried that we are going, we are every day more close to that, to receive that wrath of God. But he doesn't care. And let's continue. So it was necessary. This vision was necessary. So Jesus, take volunteer this cup and drink it for you. because he loved you. And he could say, why have to die and drink this cup for these people? They are sinners. They are too bad. Their sins are horrible. And he could see these horrible people this same day when he was taken. What happened with his disciples? They ran away. He could see this evil in the people that same day when he was crucified. When they made joke about him, this could be the worst thing they could do. Kill the Son of God. And he could taste on his own human flesh this evilness of the human being. And he could say, they don't deserve my love. I had a perfect and eternal relationship with God. They doesn't deserve this. And we don't. But his love for us was more powerful than these visions and this distress that he suffered. He could overcome this and endure this moment of suffering because he loved you. And let's continue. It says in verse 39, it says, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. You see how bad that was, God? Let this pass. Let this cup pass from me. Jesus asking God, so don't make him die. If there is anything else, if there is somewhere you can save this human race without me going and receiving his sin upon me and receive your wrath upon me, do it, please. That was his prayer. Jesus. But he prayed three times, says Matthew. The first time, and he tells us a little bit about each prayer. We can infer. Yeah. Then each prayer was not a 1 minute prayer. It was probably about 1 hour prayer, each prayer. But Matthew don't say much, but he says just a little bit of each prayer. He's the only one who says something about each prayer. But let's go to Hebrew to compare a little bit. Let's go to Hebrew chapter 5. Let's do it fast because the Hispanic guys are coming soon. Let's do Hebrew 5. Hebrew 5, verse 7. Let's read it. It says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both. Bless you. He offered up both prayers and supplications. This prayer of God here in Gethsemane was particular. What kind of prayer was that Jesus did? It was a forgiving prayer? No, because he was perfect. It wasn't also a worship prayer, for what we can read in Matthew. It was a petition prayer. The Son of God was in a petition prayer. He needs something. In his human being, he needs something. But also in his divine being, he needs something. That son of God needs something. Because of you, needs something. And we see here in Hebrew, and it says, prayers and supplication with loud crying. And we can infer that it was in this moment in Gethsemane. With loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. He was requesting that to save him. But then also the author of Hebrews tells us that he was heard because of his piety. So then he was answered because of his piety. But when we go to the Gospels, we see that he wasn't heard. Then he had to die anyways. So what happened? Well, Jesus prayed three times. Let's try for a little time, try to see how was that. Don't lose Matthew, but let's go to Luke again. Luke 22. Luke 22, let's go on to read from verse 42, the first prayer. It says, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He was requesting God if he can remove this cup from him. But then in the next verse it says, now, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. God doesn't leave him alone in this moment of suffering. He sent an angel to strengthen him. And this was probably a response from God. Then say, I'm not going to make this cup pass from you, but I'm going to send you an angel to help you, to strengthen you. And then he probably understand that it wasn't the will of God. And it was the will of God that he had to die and drink this cup. And then in Matthew, let's go back to Matthew. Then we go to the second prayer. It says in the verse 42, says, he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And Matthew says that he prayed the same thing for the third time too. At this time, the prayer of Jesus was quite different. Because he probably understood that he had to take this cup. And he said, well, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he prayed for this two times. Because this prayer then was not to make this cup pass from him, but to help him to make his will. Because it was hard. It was a difficult task. And he was praying to don't fall into temptation, probably. To live and don't die and not accomplish his mission. He was all powerful. John tells us that when the guys came to arrest Jesus, they asked for Jesus, right? And Jesus responds, yes, I am. It says that everybody fall down when he pronounced that. One single word of God could deliver him from anything. But he was praying two more times so God can help him to do his will. For the love that he had for you. And I don't want you to understand this because, oh, sorry for my limited language. Maybe it could be more deep and, you know, this better explain. You have to pray for me to learn English. You cannot pray. I want you to understand that this was a difficult moment for Jesus. But I want you to understand something else. That this punishment put it upon Jesus is going to be worse for the sinners. It's going to be much worse for the sinners. And sinners doesn't care about that. You know why it's going to be worse for the sinners? There are some reasons. Because Jesus didn't have the feeling of guilty. He was perfect. He had to take your sins. But he didn't commit any sins. He didn't feel guilty for anything that he did. But the sinner, when God will send him to hell, he will feel guilty for all that, all those things that he did. Jesus did it. It's going to be worse because those sins are going to come up to him and make him understand that because of all he did is that he is receiving God's wrath. And also that Jesus understood that God didn't hate him. Let's go to Mark 15. Very quick. Mark 15. Verse 34. It says, and the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken. But still, Jesus knew that he was his God. But the sinner, when he is going to be sent to hell, he will know that that God is not his father anymore. And he is not going to ever be his father for the eternity. So the emotions and the feelings and the wrath of God that is going to come upon the sinner is going to be even worse than that has than have to come to Jesus. And Jesus was distressed. But the sinners are happy in their sin. And let's go to Luke 23. I'm going to finish soon, promise. Luke 23, verse 31. If you can take notes, you have to study these in your home. This is huge, big. This is one piece of the gospel. Yes, a little piece. Yes, the sin of the sinners. So you have to study this. The verse 31 says, for if they do these things, when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Jesus himself is saying that If they do this to me, then I am a green tree. What do you think is going to happen for those? For those that are dry? It's going to be worse. And I love Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't say Christians, non-Christians, carnal Christians, weak Christians, strength. No, he doesn't use that terminology. He said green tree, dry tree, fruitful tree. No fruit in that tree. There is two things. There's a sheep and a, I don't know what, goat. Simple thing. As it says in Spanish, no busques por la quinta pata del gato. Don't look for the fifth of the cat. It's simple. You are a tree, green tree, or a dry tree. And what is Jesus talking about this? The fruit of the tree. Jesus doesn't say, this is going not to happen to the Christians. Well, then we will be happy and, ooh, thanks God he died for me. This is not going to happen to me. No, he doesn't say that. This is going to happen to every single dry tree. And what fruits are Jesus talking about? Well, you can say, well, I have fruits. Yeah. Paul says, fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. I have love. I have peace. I have all those fruits. But Jesus doesn't talk about those fruits. I'm sorry. Jesus doesn't talk about those fruits. Jesus talks about one fruit. Evangelism. Gaining souls for his kingdom. Read any gospel. Anywhere in the gospel, Jesus talked about that. That's the fruit that you can see in the tree. And that's reasonable because you can say that you have the fruit of love, right? Yeah, and in the church, we all can love each other. But I don't know when you are alone. And we can have peace, everybody here in the church. But we don't know. When you are alone, what happened in your home or work or study? We don't know about that. But there is something that you cannot hide. There is something that you cannot, that people can see. Your fruits of gaining souls. Read John 15. We will spend a lot of time. Ed told me that I have only 4 minutes, so I cannot go. There, I'm about 3.5, about to finish. But if this happened to the green tree, imagine what is going to happen to the dry tree. I don't know what kind of tree you are. But I hope you don't be that foolish to think then this is not going to happen to you and you are a dry tree. It's simple. And it scares me sometimes when I see that we are full of dry trees. We need to be fruitful trees. We need that. It's simple. What is happening in your life if you are not bearing fruit? What is happening? You still have time. But there is going to be one day that you are not going to have time. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. I don't care if you are successful. I don't care what are you studying for. I don't care what is going to happen to you tomorrow. I don't care that. I doesn't care if you lose everything tomorrow. But if you are a dry tree, worst things that happened to Jesus are going to happen to you. And it's going to be worse, because this punishment falling into Jesus, Jesus knew that was just for one small period of time. After 3 days, he's going to be raising, because he overcome death. But when the sinner is sent to hell, he's sent for the eternity, not for 3 days. You are not going to escape from the wrath of God. His wrath is upon you if you don't receive Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came to you, you are a fruitful tree. You cannot be a dry tree. That's not in the mind of Jesus. He can't understand how, if someone understands my love, if someone understands what I did for him, it can be a dry tree. That's not gospel. That cannot be gospel. That could be your gospel in your mind, and you can think that that's a gospel. But that's not Jesus' gospel. And I hear preachers saying that here in the United States it's more difficult to be a Christian. Yes, it is more difficult to be a Christian. Because we forgot these things, these simple things that Jesus said. And we don't like to use these terms that Jesus used, sheep, tree. We don't like those, because those tell us the truth. So I encourage you. If you didn't understand how bad you are, if you didn't understand how bad is your sin before God, and all that Jesus have to suffer for you, not only the things that he have to suffer in his place, but in his soul. And if you are a dry tree without fruit, if you don't share the gospel, if you don't bear fruit to God, I warn you, worse things are going to happen to you. For the sake of God, you need to repent. You need to come to Jesus and to give him his life and live for him. Stop to live for you. He's going to ask you one day, what you did with my son? We need to love more Jesus. Probably as a saint, then he loves us. He loves us great. He suffered all these things because he loves us. We need to love him. Let's go to pray. Pastor David.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.